It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, one in four working Wisconsinites earns a poverty wage, according to a new report out from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy.
First, on this day in 1861, the 1st Wisconsin Infantry Regiment mustered in before leaving for the Civil War's Western Front in Tennessee and elsewhere. Other units had already enlisted for shorter terms, and Wisconsinites would fight in the Union Army at Gettysburg and other key battles.
Today in Curious Wisconsin, we look back on the state's Civil War history. Brett Barker joins us. He's an associate professor of history at UW-Marathon County and the author of Exploring Civil War Wisconsin. Brett, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So the 1st Wisconsin troops signed on in 1861. How long a term were they signing up for?
Well, that's right. The first group had signed up in April of 1861 for just 3 months. Lincoln had made that call and had hoped the war would be a short one.
And was the Union that confident that the war was going to end that soon?
Well, I think both sides were, actually. The Union hoped that maybe one decisive battle would be enough to put down the rebellion. And a lot of Confederates also thought that perhaps one battle would be enough to decide the war.
And when did the Union start to raise the stakes and change that three-term commitment to something longer?
Right. Well, that first battle, the first major battle, First Bull Run in July of 1861, was a Union defeat, a pretty decisive one. And I think that certainly, if not by then, certainly then by that time of that battle, most Northerners realized the war was going to be much longer and began to enlist men for 3 years, usually.
So the troops that gathered on this day in 1861 were in for the long haul?
That's right. They had signed up for 3 years, and many of them would serve for 3 years, and some of them even longer.
So how many Wisconsinites ended up serving in the Civil War?
Over 90,000. Mm-hmm. And if you consider at the time the population of Wisconsin was about 750,000, that's really a significant mobilization of Wisconsin men.
Wow. So, I mean, did the state feel empty? Were there a lot of people missing from the farms and the job?
There were. As a matter of fact, so many men went off to war that particularly in the early years of the war, there was a real need to make up for labor, particularly when the wheat crop came in. And so women and children were out in the fields and also led to an increasing mechanization. A lot of people bought reapers and other mechanical devices, which southeastern Wisconsin had a budding industry in, and that helped see Wisconsin through the war.
Was there something here that the men enlisted in willingly, or was there coercion or at least societal pressure to enlist?
Well, I would say there were certainly societal incentives to join, but these men were volunteers, and especially early in the war, they very much wanted to go. I would say they went for a lot of different reasons, some of them for love of country, some of them did want to see slavery end, particularly from those from Wisconsin. Others just wanted the excitement of going off and doing something important, sort of proving their manhood, proving their adulthood. So they went off for a lot of reasons, but early in the war, it was mostly voluntary.
And how many Wisconsin soldiers lost their lives in the course of the war?
Over the course of the war, over 12,000 of those men ended up dead, about two-thirds of them as a result of disease and about a third of them as a result of battle.
Hmm. Well, I want to dig in and talk a little more in depth about some of the troops. Now, there was a legendary brigade known as the Iron Brigade that had a lot of Wisconsin soldiers. Tell us about them.
That's right. So the Iron Brigade was a group of soldiers that were from what was considered the West, and certainly Wisconsin was considered the West during the Civil War. Three of the five regiments were from Wisconsin, and they fought very nobly and with great loss of life in the main Eastern battles, the ones over in Virginia. And really, they suffered losses at many battles, but at Gettysburg, they suffered such significant losses, they were practically shattered as a unit.
And why did they get, up till Gettysburg, such a reputation for courage in the war?
Right. They were seen as being extremely hard to dislodge from position, extremely heroic in their charges. They also, by a series of coincidences, had very distinctive black hats that they wore. So this brigade stood out from the rest of the Union Army, and they became known, as some people called them, the Black Hat Brigade. And so when Confederates saw them coming, Gettysburg being a good example, they knew they were up against some of the best fighting men in the entire Union Army.
So what happened in Gettysburg when they were shattered? Was there a particular narrative to their story, or was it typical of what happened that day?
Well, they were in a particularly tight spot. They were, on the first day of the battle, they were in a position where they had to hold out against increasing numbers of Confederate soldiers. who were sort of arriving on the battlefield early on in larger numbers than the Union Army, and they got in a really tight position. They also, part of them were engaged in an unfinished railroad cut. There was some severe fighting, and they, because they were sort of just standing the ground, standing in the open, facing rifle and artillery fire, they suffered massive losses during that first day of the battle.
And you mentioned their black hats. That reminds me, you'd sent a note about early in the war, mm-hmm. not all of the Wisconsin troops wore the Union blue.
That's right. So that wasn't, we now automatically think of Union soldiers in blue and Confederates in gray. And, of course, that's the way it developed over the course of the war. But there were no absolute rules early on, and some of the early regiments, frankly, Wisconsin was just trying to find cloth to put them in uniform, and many of the early regiments in Wisconsin went off in gray uniforms. The 2nd Wisconsin Infantry, I actually was fired upon at the Battle of First Bull Run when they were mistaken for Confederate troops, because most of the Confederate troops were in gray and most of the Union troops in blue, and so that was quickly, the governor quickly said, no, all units must go off in blue uniforms to avoid that kind of mistake in the future.
Do we know any stories, any quick biographical snapshots of any of these men in the Iron Brigade?
Well, one of the most famous ones, a man who started out in one of the companies of the Iron Brigade's regiments and then rose eventually commander, was Lucius Fairchild, and he was from the Fairchild family of Madison, and he served and ended up losing an arm at Gettysburg. And after the war, he came back and was elected Secretary of State, and then in 1866 was elected governor and served 3 terms as governor. And then later in the 1880s, he served as the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was the national veterans organization for Civil War soldiers. And so he's certainly one of the best known, but there are a lot of other ones. And a lot of these men were, that he's a very prominent one, but a lot of these other men were just ordinary farmers who are mechanics or sort of merchants who ended up in this great fight and ended up having a distinguished military career that they never really expected.
One of the best known names in Wisconsin isn't of a person, but a place, Camp Randall. UW football fans are familiar. Can you tell us the story of Camp Randall in the early days of the Civil War?
Sure. So Camp Randall was, before the war, it was the state agricultural grounds where the state fair had been held. And it was sort of taken over as a military camp, and they began to soldiers from around the state came there to rendezvous and to be formed into regiments and to train. And it was a very lively place over the course of the war. About 75,000 of Wisconsin's troops went through Camp Randall. It was where really they began military life. And so a lot of people, when they go to the football stadium today, don't recognize that there's this sort of long history associated with that camp.
We're talking right now with UW-Marathon County History Professor Brett Barker, looking at Wisconsin Civil War history.
And you can join the conversation if you have a question or maybe a story from your family history or your part of the state. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue that conversation, but first it is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive.
Yeah, Cheryl Gasser joins us in the studio now to remind you that as a WPR listener, you're always going to hear something worthwhile when you tune in. So now is the time to put a value on this program and everything else you hear on WPR by making a gift now at WPR.org. or with a call to 888-202-2552.
Now, Rob, last hour we heard from 36 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges, including 21 brand new members to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's great.
Excellent. Now let's top it this hour. We're looking for 23 pledges, but I would love to meet that goal and then exceed it.
You'll want to make that pledge now because your gift of any amount automatically enters you into a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal and get entered into the drawing by making a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to the talk shows on the Ideas Network, like Central Time, you get to participate in a statewide conversation. You hear from the experts, and you also get to learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all over the state.
You go out into the world a more well-rounded person every day, full of engaging topics to think and talk about. Because you value being well-informed, Make a pledge to the station that keeps you connected, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip, and you get to choose. Will you choose Alaska or the Rhine River in Europe, or maybe France will be your choice? You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Peter. What's happening? We have a sort of a problem here. Yeah. You apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS report.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot.
Okay, I'll expect that on my desk in a few minutes.
Ugh, I'll just turn on WPR. Take my mind off that situation.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Oh, man, pledge drive. I can't catch a break. Jeez Louise, they have thousands and thousands of donors. They gotta be rolling in dough. Why do they keep on asking?
Well, because, Peter, the quality programs you enjoy on WPR cost quite a bit of money.
What? Okay, but you keep on boasting like you have like 50,000 members. Isn't that enough?
We really appreciate all of our members, but we're doing a lot of new things right now. I mean, think about the internet streaming that you're listening to.
Well, it's free, right?
It's free for you, but not for us. We're really happy that so many listeners use it, and the more who use it, the more bandwidth we need, so the more it costs. With every new innovation like this, our mobile app, our new website, new shows, everything adds up.
Okay, I get it. It takes a lot of money.
So make your contribution to WPR, Peter, and then you can get back to that TPS report cover sheet.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Cheryl Gasser joins Central Time here in the studio to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And we'd love to hear from you now, Rob. We're looking for 16 pledges by 4 o'clock to reach this hourly goal. We'd love to hear from you now. And consider a sustaining membership. It truly is the gift that keeps on giving, because as a sustainer, your membership doesn't have an expiration date.
That's because the monthly deductions from your bank account or charges on your credit or debit card will automatically renew each year. Give the gift that keeps on giving by becoming a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, maybe you tune into WPR every day on your way to and from work, and over the lunch hour, and then some more on the weekends.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day would probably be different, probably worse, if you couldn't catch your favorite programs. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And pledge in support of everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, but this would be a great time to hear from you because you are a Central Time fan. Robin Veronica, I want to read a few comments we've heard from listeners over the past year of our broadcast.
Okay.
Robin and Veronica work really well together. They're intuitive. They ask the questions that I want to hear the answers to. Another listener said that the variety of guests and topics on Central Time makes for a great commute, and they say, keep up the good work. Such great variety on the program, such wonderful co-hosts. Make a pledge in support of Central Time and all of WPR. Do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, that's great to hear. We've been at this on Central Time for just over a year, and we've heard great things from people. We want to keep bringing you the incredible variety of guests and topics that we bring you each and every day. We could not have started this show. We could not have kept it up this long. We could not have kept it going out into the future without your support, without the pledge that perhaps you're about to make right now. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at Wisconsin's Civil War history in today's edition of Curious Wisconsin. Brett Barker is with us. He's Associate Professor of History at UW-Marathon County, and he's the author of Exploring Civil War Wisconsin. We'll go right to a caller at 800-642-1234. We have Mike on the line in Sheboygan. Mike, hi.
Hi. It's well known that Wisconsin, UW-Madison, has a plaque that commemorates the Social Security being founded in Wisconsin, but I think there's even something more interesting. There is a Iron Brigade veteran from Fond du Lac who had discussions in the after the Civil War. There's records that the Civil War veterans were receiving soldiers' relief funds, widows and soldiers who had been injured in the Civil War. And there's a plaque in Fond du Lac that commemorates the beginning of the Progressive Party, and it says 40 years earlier, discussions such that the Progressive Republicans actually had something that was a precursor to Social Security. So the bottom line is Wisconsin was the home of Social Security, but I think Fond du Lac and the Civil War veterans in Fond du Lac County actually were the ones for the birthplace of Social Security.
Interesting, Mike. Brett, is that a story you're familiar with?
I don't know about the plaque. I would say that Wisconsin and other Union veterans received pensions, particularly after 1890. The pension law broadened to allow most men who had served to receive a pension, and it was a major benefit that many of those men enjoyed, and it was a major expenditure of the federal government. In the early 1890s, over 40% of the federal budget went to Civil War soldiers' pensions. And so it was a major expenditure at that time, and it did. It had a profound effect on that entire generation of soldiers who, of course, lived well into the early parts of the 20th century.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Mike. And we're going to roll along and take a call from Bob in Green Bay. Hi, Bob.
Let me take you off speakerphone.
All righty.
Good afternoon, y'all. I don't know if you know the answer or not, but I was just curious on it. We have American Indians in Wisconsin, all different tribes. Did they play any part in the Civil War, or were they just, like, excluded? Or I don't understand.
Well, that's interesting. Some Indians from Wisconsin did indeed fight for the Union Army in the Civil War. And now I'm a little off the top of my head, but I believe one of the companies of the 37th Wisconsin Infantry actually is made up largely of Menominee Indians. And I know some members of other tribes did serve as well. And so they did actually contribute to the war effort in a certain way. And then other ones, the full participation of all the tribes, I'm not sure of right off the top of my head, but I do know that story of the Menominees of the 37th.
All right, interesting. Well, thank you, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brett, I wanted to ask you, I gather we lost a governor of Wisconsin during the Civil War.
That's correct. Strangely enough, so Lewis Harvey was elected governor of Wisconsin in the fall of 1861. He succeeded Alexander Randall, who the Camp Randall was named for. And in the spring of 1862, a bloody battle called Shiloh occurred in Tennessee, and the Union Army was not prepared to care for all the wounded. So Governor Harvey, hearing of this, put together a relief expedition of nurses and doctors and medical supplies and led this in person down to Tennessee. And while he was in Tennessee, on the Tennessee River, he was crossing from one steamboat to another, and he slipped off the gangplank and drowned in the Tennessee River in Tennessee while governor of Wisconsin.
And then his wife, pick up that story here, about three blocks from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, his wife Cordelia Harvey was back in Wisconsin and, of course, didn't know about this. And she was collecting funds for the relief of soldiers' families who had been sort of impoverished when their men went off to war. And she was collecting up on the Capitol Square, and it seems likely probably sort of in between where the Veterans Museum and the State Historical Museum is up on the square now. And she noticed that the flag on the state capitol had been lowered to half-mast. and she didn't know why. And her friends were running around trying to find her, and eventually they did. And when she looked into their faces, she knew something terrible had happened, and so that's how she found out about it. But she then went on to dedicate the rest of the war to making sure the Wisconsin soldiers were well cared for. And then after the war, she ran the Soldiers' Orphans Home in Madison, which took care of children who had been orphaned by the war.
Oh, wow, that's quite a story. Mm-hmm. Well, there's also a connection here with Old Abe the Eagle being a mascot. Can you tell us that, how that piece of the puzzle played
right
out?
Well, as I told you, you know, a lot of the men came from all over Wisconsin. They came to rendezvous in Camp Randall. And one man who was up from the North Woods, up near the Lac du Flan, area, brought a small eaglet with him, and it was sort of adopted into the 8th Wisconsin Regiment that he became a part of, the 8th Wisconsin Infantry, and that eaglet grew up to be what came to be called Old Abe, the War Eagle, and he had a little perch he sat on during battles, and he marched around with the troops during the entire war, and became sort of a symbol of that regiment. He later became an advertising logo for the J.I. Case Company of Wisconsin. And actually, it is his image that you see today on the 101st Airborne Eagle, the Screaming Eagles patch. That is a representation of Old Abe the War Eagle.
Wow,
so it sort of continues.
A Wisconsin Eagle.
Yes.
Now, briefly, it's election season now. 150 years ago, Abe Lincoln was up for re-election. Just briefly, what was the political scene like here in Wisconsin?
Well, it was, he ended up carrying the state rather easily, but there was a large Democratic contingent, some of whom were very much opposed to the war. And most famously, one La Crosse Democratic editor put a picture of Lincoln in his newspaper entitled "Abraham Lincoln, the Candidate for Presidency and the Widowmaker of the 19th Century." So needless to say, that was a rather unpopular view. That editor also later issued an editorial that said that if the American people had such bad judgment as to reelect Lincoln, perhaps the hand of an assassin would have to take care of it. He had to leave La Crosse in April of 1865 when Lincoln was assassinated.
Mm. Wow. Well, we'll leave it there. A lot of stories to tell. Brett, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Brett Barker, Associate Professor of History at UW-Marathon County. He's the author of Exploring Civil War Wisconsin.
Coming up after the news, jobless numbers are falling, but are Wisconsin workers earning a living wage? We'll look at a new report out this week.
And remember, you can support conversations like these with your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Each week at this time, we tell a story. We learn something that's curious and different and unique about Wisconsin, the state as a whole or some part of it. Support these conversations about our state with your pledge now at WPR.org. or with a call, 888-202-2552.
And a pledge of any amount matters, and it really does make a difference. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Whatever amount feels right to you, that's exactly the right amount. The important thing to do, though, is to make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you are entered automatically into a drawing when you pledge, a drawing for a pair of tickets on one of three pretty cool Wisconsin Public Radio trips. So make that pledge now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll take a look at a new report that says one in four Wisconsin workers are earning a poverty wage.
Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Veronica Rickard here with Cheryl Gasser, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 10 more pledges in the next 25 minutes or so to stay on track for this hour. So make your pledge now, and when you do, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip.
Donate any amount during
during our fall membership drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France. You help pay for Central Time when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now, you might not know that high schools and colleges use WPR programs as part of their curriculum because educators recognize that students can learn a lot about current events, great books, history, and so much more from listening to the great discussions here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift makes WPR an educational resource that's available throughout the state and beyond. You have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can always be assured that we always have your interests at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we receive from members like you and the 600 members of Wisconsin Public Radio's 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members support WPR with gifts of $1,200 or more each year. To make this leadership gift of $100 a month, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. What exactly does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio. And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state dollars, listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really does matter. It makes a difference. It makes you a member. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Cheryl Gasser asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe $100 a month feels right to you, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We are looking for 9 more pledges this hour, and you can help. You can be the next member of Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge of support. And know that you can turn on the radio every day, seemingly for free, and enjoy hours of great conversations from Joy Cardine to Larry Mueller, Kathleen Dunn, and of course, Central Time. And for a lot of people, that's where the relationships end.
But for a special group of people, the relationship changes over time. They become attached, and then they give us money. They willingly pay for something that lots of people get for free.
And those are very special people, and we call them members. So become a member today, a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. $5 a month is a great place to start. Do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and welcome to the club.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, a habit that you can be proud of. Lots of people who donate for the first time realize that it feels good, and they keep on going. Get started today. You can help with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Just 9 more pledges to go in the next 20 minutes or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps, and it enters you into a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip to Alaska, France, or down the Rhine River. And sustainers, don't worry, you are automatically entered into those drawings.
If you're a sustainer, we thank you so much. Make today the day you think about increasing your support of WPR by, say, $5 a month, or whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have been on the air here on Central Time for just about almost a year and a half now, and we've heard so many great comments from listeners and staff, and the team is so amazing. One of our listeners said, thanks to Veronica and Rob and the producers for putting together such a quality program. Keep up the great work. Another one, I love this. Central Time, Rob and Veronica, a home run for Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much because you enjoy Central Time each weekday afternoon, because you love Rob and Veronica on the air together, bringing you such a great variety of topics. Help make a home run for this hour with your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about maybe a book you were introduced to that you loved, or an idea that got you thinking, or a new topic that you'd never thought about, a new passion that was introduced into your life because of Wisconsin Public Radio. Think about that and then put a dollar amount on it and make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is the way to do it.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio maybe every day, every week. You tune in for entertainment, for news, for information, for the music. It's such a great combination, and we bring it all to you, but it simply wouldn't be possible without listener support. So please make a pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Central Time is still a new show. It's about a year old, which I guess still makes it a bouncing baby. So we'd love to hear from new members, new shows, new members that go together pretty naturally. And pledge drives are a great time and an important time to hear from new members. If you've never given before, make today the day you become a WPR member. You can make it happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already given, thank you so much. This has been a really great drive, and listener support has been just amazing. And we would love to make the goal this hour. Just 8 more pledges to go in about 18 minutes. Can we make that goal? I think we can with your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Unemployment may be falling, but do working Wisconsinites make enough money to keep their heads above water? A new report out from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy says that 1 in 4 Wisconsin workers earns a poverty wage.
The center says that the state's minimum wage of $7.25 an hour falls well short of a living wage. Last year, 13 states raised their minimum wage, and labor advocates are pushing for the same here in Wisconsin. Others say, though, a raise would hurt employment numbers during a tenuous recovery. Here to talk about the report is Laura Dresser. She's director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Laura, welcome to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, to start off, according to your report, what qualifies as a poverty wage?
Well, deciding what bad enough job quality is always a little arbitrary, but what we did was look at the wage that a worker who got full-time hours year-round, so that's 2,080 hours a year, would have to earn, the hourly wage they'd have to earn to keep a family of four out of poverty.
And so how many
was... $11.35 an hour.
$11.35 an hour. So how many Wisconsinites fall under that benchmark?
1 in 4 workers, 700,000 workers in the state of Wisconsin, 1 of every 4 workers is earning $11.35 or less.
Well, when we think of lower income jobs, we think maybe this includes, you know, a teenager and it's their first job, or somebody who's supplementing a partner's income in a low income job. Is that who we're seeing bringing these numbers down?
No, you know, I think one thing is right. Like, we think, oh, I had a job that didn't pay very much once, and I was a teenager, so everybody who has that job must be a teenager. But once you realize you're talking about 1 in 4 workers earning that level of wages, you know, it can't just be teenagers. You know, we don't have that many teenagers in the workforce. We don't have that many second earners in the workforce. This is the median age of those 700,000 workers is 30. Many of them have children, more than 200,000 children in the state have a parent earning these wages. It's retail work, it's food service work, it's residential and home health care, hands-on health care with the frail and elderly. All these jobs pay very, very low wages.
Well, but Wisconsin is not a high cost of living state. You might say, you know, that wage in New York or San Francisco would be pretty rough, but it's cheap to live here in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, I think whenever you kind of sort of try and think about what is enough to live on, you have to look at what costs are. And if you look at $11 an hour and you consider costs for housing and health care and transportation and utilities, and then beyond that for food and clothes and just the other cost of living, it adds up to pretty significant numbers. In fact, to live without any support, to be able to buy your own health insurance and to, feed your family all month and all that, the wage that families tend to need is well over the poverty line, even in the state of Wisconsin. So if you just ask folks, could you live with a family of four on $22,000 a year? The answer from anybody who's trying to live on that kind of money or who has twice that much money, is no. So even though it is true, it's a higher cost of living in New York, but $22,000 a year for a family of four isn't enough in Wisconsin either.
Looking at jobs in the long term, why are we in a place in Wisconsin where one in four jobs is paying below this federal poverty benchmark?
You know, I think one of the things that we've had going on in the long term is this, this serious and dangerous kind of pernicious decoupling of the growth of the economy and the wages of the median worker. So one story that people are becoming more familiar with is that the economy is growing, but the rewards to the growth are being concentrated at the top of the economy. The other thing that's going on is that the punishing parts of the economy are getting worse or stagnating. So wages towards the bottom, wages for men with just high school degrees, wages for women with just high school degrees, no more education than that, have all fallen over time. Those workers are facing a harder labor market and lower wages, excuse me, today than they were in the past.
So looking at the average household in Wisconsin, are you using a benchmark of poverty for a family of four? The average household size in Wisconsin, according to the U.S. Census, is more like 2.5. Why use a family of four as the benchmark for this report?
You know, again, this is one of those arbitrary decisions, I think, in a way, about just saying what is good enough job quality? What is a decent job? And so we chose a standard that would afford a family of four life out of poverty. But I think it's also a standard, $11.35 or, above $10 an hour gets you over $20,000 a year. Nobody thinks that that's good or easy living. I don't think anybody really, unless it's a second income on top of a substantial income, at least twice that level, thinks of $20,000 as easy to live on money. Sure, it's arbitrary. We could have said $10. We could have said $12.50. We would have found very similar numbers. Obviously, fewer workers, lower share of the workforce, the lower the wage goes. But also just to think about what is the kind of income that would afford you a sense of economic security. And I don't think $11 an hour or $11.35 is too generous for that. Though you're right, there's a leather benchmark to set, and a lot of people who earn $11 an hour might be living by themselves, and so $20,000 is more manageable for one, for sure, than it is for a family of four.
Let's get into a little more of the demographics of who is earning under that benchmark by race. I know you broke that down in this report.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that most of our low-wage workers in the state, just like most of the workers in the state, are white. But if you look at our minority populations in the state, you find much more prevalent chances of working at these very low wages. So for both African American and Hispanic workers in the state, basically 40% of the workforce, 4 in 10 workers, are earning $11.35 or lower, earning poverty level wages. It's important to note, although this report didn't cover that, but from the state of working Wisconsin, those are the very populations that also are suffering serious unemployment as well. And so those communities, are facing much higher levels of unemployment than the white community is, and also much higher levels of very low wage work, poverty level work.
And how much of this is accounted for by education levels?
Well, I think that's one thing. We wish all of us that there was an easy solution and a guarantee that having some years of college or completing a 2 or 4 year degree would be a guarantee that you would never work at these wages. In fact, it isn't. High school degrees, more than half of workers with high school degrees are working at these wages. Some college, I don't have the percentage right in front of me, but 40% of workers with some college or somewhere in that ballpark are earning poverty-level wages. And even there are people with four-year college degrees. I think especially of women in early childhood education, some of whom have four-year degrees, many of whom have two-year degrees, who are working at $10 and $11 an hour in spite of all that education. So it's true that, you know, it's absolutely true. The more education you get, the better chances you have for a better wage job. But even at the bottom of the labor force, it's not a guarantee that you'll get out.
Now, many of the people, especially those with families making this wage level, can receive some form of public benefit. So is that, in effect, taking them out of poverty and not such a concern for us?
Well, it's absolutely true. And again, you know, my benchmark is a jobs benchmark, not a standards of living benchmark, because as you're pointing out, people live in different sorts of families. Not everybody has a partner and two kids. Some people have other sources of income. Some people don't have children, et cetera. And additionally, some workers, as you're pointing out, get support, whether it's through medical assistance or childcare subsidies or other kinds of support. So it can be that you can make ends meet at the bottom of the labor market with a lot of support. Though a lot of low-wage workers would say, you know, I'd gladly trade in this government support, this food stamp check, or whatever I need for a real wage on the job. I'd rather be doing this by myself. And I think we want work that really rewards workers enough that they can live on their own, not a structure where we have so many jobs where the workers have to rely, on a pretty low-wage job and variable hours in it, and then are constantly trying to make up the difference, whether through government program or through charity.
In the report, you call for an increase in the minimum wage to tackle some of the issues you're bringing up. As things stand, it doesn't seem likely politically that the state would raise the minimum wage from, say, $7.25 to that $11.36 an hour benchmark. In light of that, what else would you like to see happen?
Well, I think there's some chance that the federal government will raise the minimum wage, and I think that would be good news for workers in the state. I think that the more attention we pay to the issue of wages and the conversation around wages, I'm happy to see people thinking about it, even if it doesn't, necessarily guarantee a legislative victory in the short term. There are longer term conversations, and I think those conversations need to be about the wage standards in the state and at the federal level, and also expectations for hours and benefits in jobs, so that workers can rely on a stronger package of job quality, and that then the government can be supporting working families around that.
Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, about her new report that says one in four working Wisconsinites earns a poverty wage. You can continue the conversation over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, the case for positive sex education in America. First, it is the fall membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Rob Ferret. A chance to show your support now for all the programs you listen to throughout the year. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're coming down to the wire to meet our goal this hour. We need six pledges by the end of the hour, just 5 minutes or so. And here's a great reason to encourage you to do that now.
That's right. Pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets to go on a WPR.
We can call them ticks.
I'd rather call them tickets.
Fair enough.
To go on a WPR trip, you could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or maybe a trip to France.
Thank you so much. If you've already given, if you won, bring a big suitcase. We'll sneak along with you. If you haven't given, help stay on track. Enter that drawing by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last segment, we learned about a new report saying that one in four Wisconsinites is making poverty wages and the implications there for Wisconsin's economy. An example of the important topics that you hear each and every day on Central Time.
Your support makes the many topics we cover every day possible, and it makes the variety of things we cover possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you can, share your passion for WPR by becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with a pledge of $100 a month or more. We rely on member support. That's your support to make great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month or $1,200 for the year are a great help. Help us stay strong. Continue to grow with a leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Is Wisconsin Public Radio just part of the way you live? Well, if so, pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Rob Ferret asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 a month. Maybe $20 a month feels right. Whatever amount you decide on is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, contact info, the amount of your pledge, and of course, how you'd like to pay for it.
Make a one-time gift, or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You get to choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, whether you're concentrating or relaxing.
Like a good companion, you count on us for accurate news, great music, and intelligent conversation. We, in turn, count on you to support what you hear, because that's how public radio works. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for six more pledges just in the next few minutes. Oh, we've hit so many, almost all of our goals this drive. Hate to fall short now. You can help us do it. You can help us meet this goal. Here's a little extra reason to become a member right now.
That's right. Give any amount and you'll be entered in a drawing to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe. You could discover Alaska or maybe sample the French lifestyle.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Get entered into that drawing and support public radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Six more pledges to go and only a couple of minutes to get there. You can help us do it by stepping up and supporting the radio station that you listen to. That's part of your life. That's woven into your mornings, your drive home, your cooking time, and your free time. That's what WPR means to you, and that's the best reason to pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Barbara from Milwaukee pledged. She says, I pledge because I want to be sure this wonderful station stays on the air. Thank you. Freeman pledged from Grays Lake, Illinois. He says, I love listening to your programming. I'm a relocated Wisconsin native, and WPR keeps me in touch with Wisconsin politics. It makes me feel like I never left my beloved Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you, for those wonderful pledges and kind words. Now, how about you? Let them encourage you to make your own pledge of support, maybe your first ever, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
New members, we would love to hear from you. Maybe five of you right now to help us get to our goal. Pledge drives are an important time to hear from new members. If you've never given before, why not make today the day that you decide to become a WPR member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on Central Time and all of the other great programs on the Ideas Network to keep you connected to the world. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or give a call at 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support.